Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond by Louise Carlton-Gertsch is powered by Ernst Klett Sprachen, der Verlag für modernes Fremdsprachenlernen in Schule, Ausbildung, Universität und Erwachsenenbildung. Sprachenlernen fürs Leben.
Hello and welcome to Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond. A podcast in which we'll be looking at ways to help students of English develop important skills for the 21st century. I'm your host, Louise Carlton-Gertsch. My guest today is Sarah, a software engineer from the UK who works at a news organisation and has been using ChatGPT for some time now. Hi Sarah, thanks very much for joining me. So maybe first of all, you could tell me a little bit about what you do.
Hi. All right. Yeah. So I do work within news. I work for a team that is trying to sort of push innovation, trying to create new ways of telling stories, trying to engage with new audiences. So we're always experimenting with new technology. So you can imagine that ChatGPT, that kind of world of AI, machine learning, is something that we tap into quite a lot.
So maybe to begin with, you can explain what ChatGPT actually is.
So I actually, in preparation for this, I thought I wanted to, you know, get it straight about what these things were. So I was like, I'm going to just ask ChatGPT what ChatGPT is, but maybe in the style of a poem, just for fun. So this is what it came out with. So ChatGPT, a model grand and true, built by OpenAI, smart and anew, a language genius trained to chat, answer questions wherever you're at. It's based on GPT-3, a feat, a large model, its knowledge elite. It's been designed to converse with you with ease and grace, its answers true. So ask away, don't be shy. ChatGPT will always give reply. From history to math and more, its knowledge covers every shore. OpenAI, the mastermind behind this model of great kind, pioneers in the world of AI. Their work will shape our future. That's why.
Gosh, that's really scary. That is just absolutely incredible. I mean, it's very creative, isn't it?
It's very creative. And yeah, I remember the first time I started using this technology and it was like magic. It just like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Like now I've kind of gotten a bit more used to it now, and you can just have a lot of fun with it. I don't think I did anything serious with it for a long time. I was mainly just getting it to write like funny raps in the style of like, you know, Run DMC, whatever. I was just like, yeah, create me this. But yeah, no, I mean, I can give you an actual proper answer, not a poem to what it is, if you'd rather.
Yeah, tell us now what it is, kind of in your own words as well.
So it's just a way of auto-generating text. It's trained, it's something that like a sort of computer program, I suppose, that's trained on a lot of different, so for text generation, it will be trained on text. And yeah, it's got this whole database of text and it slowly learns more and more and more. It's just like a human brain, really. And the more, so it's like a data model, it gets trained on, and the larger the model is, then the more it learns.
It must learn incredibly fast though. I mean, you said it learns like a human, but it's just learning exponentially fast, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I guess that's true. You can feed it like a whole bunch of stuff. But I mean, it takes a long time. And like, this technology has been around for a while. It's not like totally brand new. And it takes a really long time to actually train these things and get them working actually well and not producing complete nonsense.
But that's something I've heard too, that, and you know, I've tried it out myself quite a bit in the past weeks, because I've just been really interested to see what it can do. And part of the problem is it doesn't give you always, you know, it starts off giving you great answers and then at some point it just gives you things that are a bit strange.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's in this research phase right now. So, I mean, this is why they've opened it up to the public for free. so they can like get all this user, people using it, getting this user data, and then they can refine it even further. So I imagine at some point, probably quite terrifyingly soon, they'll make everyone pay for it, which, or maybe not. Hopefully there'll still be some free element of it. But I think this is a good golden era where everyone's just getting to try everything out for free while it's still learning, while it's in its infancy. And I'm sure it's going to get, now that they've done this, it's going to get even better than what it is now, like quite quickly. Even in the last, I've been using it the last maybe 6 months, maybe more. It's dramatically improved even since then.
Can you give us an example of how it's improved?
For example, I'm a software engineer, and I it can actually work really well with code now. When I first started, they were only just starting to develop the way that it can help you write code. It was pretty basic. I was just trying to get it to spit me out some simple code, and it was getting it wrong. And I had to go and correct it all the time. And it was just, I was like, oh, this is useless. I can't use this. And now it's amazing. It can now basically just like, I can tell it exactly what I want my code to do. And it will just like, I'll be like, write this in Python or like JavaScript. And it will like spit that out for me. And it will, most of the time, will actually work, which is great. Or like, I can get it to refactor my code, refine my code. Be like, I'll put in some code that I've written and ask it to like improve it, and it will. Or what else do I use it for? I use it so much. I'll give it like an error. I'll be getting an error message, and I'll like pop in the error message there and be like, how do I fix this? And it will like advise me how to fix it.
So do you think this means that soon young people won't have to learn to code anymore because they can just tell OpenAI what they need and it'll do it for them?
Well, I do think it's going to take a lot of the sort of rump work out of writing code. I think, you know, I still think there's people are going to be wanting to write code, and there's still like, you know, the creative side of it is still a thing where you know, you want to sit there and like just try and figure something out yourself. But I think, yeah, I can imagine in the not too distant future, people will just be able to say what they want, like in either in written or just verbal text, like words, be like, write me an application that does this, or write me a function that does this, and it will be able to do it. I mean, it's already being able to do that now, but maybe on a larger scale, it'll be able to do that. I can imagine that maybe there's not so much a need for people just to be writing out lines and lines of code in the future.
But it can't just, I mean, it doesn't just write code, does it? I mean, it can do all kinds of things like write texts, like newspaper articles and essays and, well, as you just showed us, poetry, and it can ask questions. And if I need a whole set of questions, it'll just come up with the questions I need on a particular topic. What can't it do?
What can't it do? I mean, the thing that we've struggled with for my team, as much as we try and push boundaries when with writing news, we fundamentally have to make sure that the news that we report is true. That's the most important thing. You know, no more fake news. That's not what we want. And the real big issue that we face, and why we can't actually really use this technology right now, is that it's just, we can't trust it. We can't trust what it's producing. And we still have to, like, we'd have to have several levels of moderation before anything actually got published, which is fine. And it's not something that we wouldn't be able to use in the future, but there's a lot of ethics around this area. Like, because it will just make things up. And then you just like, wait, what's it making up? And you know, if you're an expert in every single field, you'll be able to spot the mistakes. But not like, you can't really rely on that. Like, not everyone is. Most people aren't. Maybe they're an expert in one field, or maybe two or three. But like, yeah, you can't be sure. Like, when a journalist writes it themselves, they will write about what they know, and they'll know what they're not sure about. But when you get something that's generated for you, you don't really have an indication of what it's not sure about. I met up with the people that have created the OpenAI, or the people that work for them, and expressed our concerns because we were trying to use this, and it's something they're definitely aware of and they're working on. We're working towards that, so hopefully it'll be something that an improvement that will be made later, that at least we'll know what it's having, it's like kind of making up, or like what its sources are. They have various ways of handling this, I know, but that's what it can't do right now.
So, I mean, you're talking about sources. So basically, if we flooded the internet with lots of misinformation about a certain topic, it would also probably learn from this misinformation too.
So you mean that if there's misinformation on the internet, it would, mm-hmm. Would do you think that they would know that it was misinformation or not?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, it just learns what it learns from whatever source it has. Well, it's not hooked up to the internet right now, ChatGPT. They've given it, they've got like loads of text data that they've given it. And I think it's up to like 2021, that this amount. So it's, at the moment, it's not very good at giving you any information about anything beyond the year 2021. So for current affairs, obviously, it's basically useless. If you're like, you know, who is the Prime Minister of the UK?
Well, that's a different, difficult one for most British people at times too.
Exactly. Things that are changing quite a lot, it's not, I mean, you can't really use it for, which again, makes it kind of useless for us right now.
You mentioned something interesting before about the need for moderation, that you'd need, you would have to moderate the text and check the text several times before you could publish it in a news context, because you really, as you said before, you don't know what you can really rely on. Do you think this is maybe one of the things why humans are not going to become obsolete in the whole AI world? Because we're needed to kind of be the experts, because we can think, because we can question in a way that maybe machines can't.
Yeah, and I think we have a very unique insight into what humans like. I mean, we're still the ones controlling this technology. Like, we're trying to make it what we want, be prescriptive. And I use it as a tool to give me a kind of template to work with, an initial idea to give me some inspiration. I find it quite inspiring, but I still think creativity, being able to moderate this, you're kind of like their supervisor. You're kind of, you've got it there working for you, and you can take what you want and use that to maybe inspire something else. The way I use it, I often just will like get it to generate some text or whatever for me, and then I'll be like, oh, I like that bit. Yesterday I was using it to help me write a presentation, or like find a fun title for the presentation I was going to do, but it got made quite a few ones for me, and I was like, okay, I'll choose this bit from here, this bit from here. So you kind of start curating what it's doing. So you're still being creative. It's not like I'm totally palming off all this thing. I'm like, you know, I get it. I just copy and paste, and then I just make it my own. It's just, you know, everything, you know, that we do as humans anyway, we like steal from something, that we're always influenced by something else. Nothing we do is original.
That's true.
It's like, even if you think you're being super original, you're like, oh wait, no, I probably got that from there. Everything you get from somewhere else. This just makes it a bit easier. A bit faster.
Okay, that's very interesting. I mean, of course, a lot of people, like me as well as an author, were kind of very concerned by the implications this might have for our work. I mean, as content creators, you know, are we going to become obsolete very soon? But I think what you're saying here is, because the need is still there to curate and everything, this probably means that we'll be around for a little bit longer.
Absolutely. And like, I think it's really important to remember that everyone has their own unique voice. That's never going to change. Authors, writers of any kind, like musicians, like artists, they all have their own unique perspective on the world. And like AI is not going to stop that from being a thing. It's just going to give you another tool to work with, to help make you work faster, to give you more inspiration. Like, I'm sure there will be some downsides, and like it will tread on some toes. It already is. But for me, it's never been something that I've been afraid of. I found it very exciting, that the possibilities of it. But I know that it's not going to really actually take away from what humans are. They're way, way more complicated than this, than what they've built. So much more.
You talked about people feeling, you know, being trod on their toes. And of course, one of the big concerns is in education, because teachers are really concerned at the moment. What happens if my students now go to ChatGPT and let it generate the essay that I've just set them for homework? Then where's the learning effect there? You know, this is really quite a big concern. What kind of suggestions or ideas would you have there to help educators?
No, I can absolutely imagine why this is an issue. And I'm sure this will be abused by many, many students. But I guess for me, I remember when I was growing up, and then suddenly the internet, like Wikipedia, was a big thing, and everyone was very worried about that. People were like, we're just going to copy from Wikipedia, and like, you know, then no one's going to learn anything. So I feel like with every big technology thing, there's always like, oh no, we're going to have to like figure out, make sure people aren't cheating, and maybe make sure people are like learning properly. But I think that's such a good thing to be like, okay, how are we going to think? We've got to think again about how people are learning. This is a new thing. I really hope that teachers don't just try and squash this and be like, don't anyone use it. I hope that it gets integrated. People are going to want to use it. It's exciting. Like, I don't want people to be like, don't ever use this. This is bad. It's going to stop you learning. Like, help these students learn. I think they did. And it can be really fun for them to try out and like be creative with it. Like, I do understand there's some way, you know, they want to be able to write their own words. They want to learn how to build those skills, and that's important. But if they can find a way to tell students why this is important and make them understand when it's good to use these tools and when it's good to work on their own ways of reading, writing, constructing their own form of like text generation for themselves, like that it's a craft that's worthwhile, then I think that's the really important thing to focus on. I really hope that it's not going to be like this big taboo thing, and that they're just going to have to like, because I think that will only encourage people to try and use it, but then not talk about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, young people are really, really good at that, aren't they? I mean, if something's forbidden, then you just want to really go and do it all the more. I mean, one of the things that I hope people might do is say, okay, let's look at a text that this is our essay topic. Let's see what ChatGPT does with the essay topic. Let's get several different versions and see which one we perhaps think is the best, and then how we could improve it. Because one of the things that I have noticed and that people have been talking about is that the texts don't sound really kind of human. If you read a lot of them, they're good texts, but there's something missing. There's some kind of, and it's really hard to put into words, but there's this kind of colour, this human emotion almost. One could even say passion in some cases, that's missing from the texts, and how students could maybe learn to put that in.
Exactly. And as I was saying before, like finding their own voice for when they're doing writing is like really important, because everyone will have their own style, of like comedy, or like, you know, however it is that they want to write things. Like, and maybe just sort of showing that kind of side of it that you're not going to get really well. I mean, I'm sure it will come. You can use ChatGPT to like write in the style of this person, this style of this person. But if they can know the importance of their own style, like, it's fine to be inspired by all these things. But like, yeah, exactly like you were saying, maybe showing them what it's capable of, but also being like, right, okay, now, what do you think this is missing? What we, how would you write this differently yourself? Like if you had to write it. But yeah, I'll be really interested to see what happens with all of this new, yeah, how it affects like students and things.
If I put a text in that's incorrect, so if I write an essay and I inputted it into ChatGPT, would it be able to correct my grammatical mistakes, for instance?
Yeah, yeah.
So that would also, of course, be an interesting one if we could get students to use this in a good way instead of the teacher having to correct the text. We could get ChatGPT to do it and get the students to find out what it corrected. And, you know, that might be quite interesting too.
Yeah, one thing that we've done a bunch of times at work just for fun is just have like sort of a game where we get AI to create something and a human will create something and we'll just have to decide which created it, the computer or the man or machine type quizzes are quite fun. There'd be like, can you tell, especially with the image generations I've got, it's mad. It's really hard to spot.
I was going to say, so what kind of percentage are you on with texts? Are you fairly good at being able to judge whether a human or the machine wrote it?
Oh no! I think we actually are really bad at spotting man from machine for most things. Other than I think machines are better at writing than most software engineers are. So we'll be like, oh, it looks good. It's probably the machine.
Very good. I mean, you mentioned before about the picture AI as well. And I mean, what we've been seeing recently is an incredible rise in AI in all different spheres. I was reading about character AI, where you can chat with somebody who is maybe George Washington or, I don't know, Charles Dickens. We've got other programs like Writer that will really correct your texts for you. Is this the way forwards? I mean, is now everything going to be AI now that the kind of like the... I don't know, the floodgates have opened. Is it going to be just AI everything?
It does sort of feel like that. And it'll be interesting to see how companies are going to integrate this and, you know, how everything is going to start integrating this. It could make a lot of people's lives a lot easier. I was actually playing around with something, or like my friend was showing me this yesterday, and this actually, for the first time, I was quite scared. I've been actually very excited and, you know, enjoying this whole AI thing so far. But yesterday was the first time I actually got a little scared because they've got this voice cloning AI now. And so what my friend had done is he'd given it 30 seconds of David Attenborough talking. And then as like a reference for that, and then he'd created some text. So he'd asked ChatGPT to write a block of text in the style of David Attenborough. And then it talks like David Attenborough saying those words. And it's shockingly realistic. You can probably just take 30 seconds of my voice here and just make me say whatever you wanted me to say. Like whatever answers I didn't answer well, you could just be like, maybe I wanted you to say this. So yeah, you can fix all my mistakes.
So disclaimer for the podcast, I didn't do that. Wow. I find this really fascinating. And I think the possibilities are incredible, but also the possibilities for these kind of things to be abused and misused. I mean, if we're thinking of politicians, the possibilities, I mean, we've already seen it. There's been the one Barack Obama that's been shown on the internet with his voice has been manipulated using voice AI. And we can see him and it's not him saying the words that he's been told to say. Also, I can imagine as a news organization, you're kind of very concerned about how do you actually then find out if something is real?
Yeah, knowing what to trust, I think, is actually going to be really hard. I don't know what's going to happen in the criminal sector. Like, people are going to have, what's evidence anymore? It's going to be hard. That's to me a lot more scary. Yeah, imagine like someone could use something as evidence saying you saying words that you've never said, and you like trying to prove that it's not you. Imagine, I can imagine the juries of the future, like you're there as a, like trying to prove that this voice isn't your voice. Like it would be terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of now kind of thinking about young people today, I mean, what kind of skills do you think young people need to be learning at school today to be able to deal with new developments like these?
I think knowing what this technology is capable of, knowing what it's not yet able to do, hopefully like people, like the young people will like see the like potential of it, be excited by it, but also understand the importance of being able to learn these skills themselves. And like I was saying before, just finding their own voice. And like also like if they do want to get involved in developing these tools, being in these industries, like working like me as a software engineer, where you get to think like what the potential of this is, how you can use it and like do something really creative and exciting. Like those kind of ideas, you know, we've been given an amazing new tool to use. And I wonder like what the future gen, like the next generation are going to like do with it. It's still, I feel like it's very much still in its infancy. And hopefully like the next generation going to find some really cool stuff to do with it. That's going to hope it could solve so many issues that we're having in the world. You never know. Like maybe they'll like fix all of our problems that we've created.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
It wouldn't it be great? Yeah, climate change gone. World hunger gone.
I mean, I was reading an article in the New York Times actually that suggested that young people would be better learning human skills that can't be replicated, well, at least at the moment, by AI. So as you said, this kind of distinct personal voice, so developing their own voice rather than kind of taking something that a machine might be able to do, but using their own and how do I write things and what do I really sound like, was suggesting things like presentation skills.
Exactly.
Because that's something that AI can't do again, because also if we're passionate about something, this is something that AI won't be able to replicate. They were suggesting childlike talent for creativity, because they were saying that children don't just imitate or passively absorb data. They create innovative theories of their own, even if they're kind of a bit wild, and imaginative stories. I mean, we all know young kids who come up with these amazing stories to explain stuff. And they were also saying that empathy is really important. So there was kind of very much, it was very interesting to read that it's very much these human skills that we need to be focusing on, because this is something that AI can't do. Do you think that kind of ties in with what you've experienced?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think this is going to... Yeah, I think that's a really good shout for them to be focusing on what they can bring. And like you're saying, empathy, all these human traits that we have, that those sort of things should be focused upon. And make like and hopefully they can find the benefit, they know the benefit. They're not going to just sack everything off and be like, AI is going to do everything for me, so I'm just going to chill. Hopefully that's not going to be their attitude.
So let's just see where this is going to go. I mean, it's really a very interesting and I think scary development, but with so many possibilities. Perhaps we have to put the scariness, yeah, we have to be aware of it, but put it a little to the side and look more at the opportunities that's going to be offering.
Yeah, absolutely. No, definitely. Hopefully this is going to be a tool that we can use for good and not for evil.
Well, I'm kind of very happy that people like you are working on this and also in, you know, trying things out and really because you're so aware of all the pitfalls and dangers, this is gives me hope too that there are some humans behind the technology who are using it for good and we'll really make a go of this. So
I'll try not to get too corrupt.
Thank you. That's wonderful. Sarah, this was so interesting. It was really amazing to hear also somebody's opinions who is really using it and has been using it for so long, who's had so many insights and also comes from a software perspective rather than a kind of non-expert perspective. So that's been really fascinating talking to you. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me. I've enjoyed spewing a lot of stuff about GPT-3.
Teaching English Today, The Four Seas and Beyond by Louise Carlton-Gertsch was brought to you by Ernst Klett Sprachen, der Verlag für modernes Fremdsprachenlernen in Schule, Ausbildung, Universität und Erwachsenenbildung. Sprachenlernen fürs Leben.